It is Cop Chat with Steve Smith, but today he's brought in a special guest as well, and that will be Chloe McArdle, who has swum the English Channel 44 times. Good morning, but you do realise there's a ferry you can catch.
Yeah, I thought I would take the hard way.
Chloe, we'll get to you in a second. Steve Smith, now come on, Cop Chat, being a Monday, I feel like you're palming your job off to other people this week. What's going on?
Probably doing people a favour there, maybe, from time to time if we do that, to be honest. But no, it is absolutely fantastic to have Chloe here. We're working with her this week and we've been waiting for this for a long time, haven't we? This has been a long time coming, a lot of planning in the background, a lot of effort. Chloe will be working with us in schools and community organisations and media to promote work for a really important subject, and that's preventing domestic and family violence.
Now, Chloe, how did you, you found yourself in a position of domestic violence? And if so, how did you navigate that? Because it is something that's not just prevalent for our region, but around the country.
Yeah, definitely. So when I was married quite a few years ago now, I thought the relationship had elements which weren't great and it wasn't doing so well, and maybe some behaviours from my ex was, say, childish or immature, but I didn't see them as domestic violence because they were usually non-physical. So like breaking my items or locking me out of the house or disconnecting my phone and internet, disparaging me in emails to other people. So I just didn't realise until it came to a crux point, and he ended up organising me to be evicted from my house by police. So it was just taking things to a whole new level, and I was like, I need to get away from this guy. It's pretty unhealthy, and I haven't looked back since.
There's a lot of different versions of domestic violence, not just the physical one you hear about a lot, but also the mental side as well, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I really felt like I was living a double life back then. I didn't feel like I could share what was going on because one of his tactics was to say that our relationship was personal and I wasn't to discuss with other people what was going on in it. And looking back at it now, I think, oh, that was a really effective way of kind of silencing it, me, because without having other people as a sounding board, I didn't really have a reference of anyone else to say, hey, that's not right, or to reaffirm, you know, what my concerns. And so I kind of felt trapped, emotionally trapped, economically trapped in that relationship. But it was only really when I got out of it that I understood maybe more the brevity of that situation.
I found, not to take the conversation back to me for a second, but what you're saying, I found myself in a relationship with somebody a few years ago, the same sort of thing. But then I was in a position where, and I feel like a lot of women, men, also in our region who are probably feeling the same, that you think to yourself, this is nothing. If I ask somebody about this, they're going to think that I'm being stupid.
Yeah, definitely. It's really hard, whether you're a man, a woman, or a child, to really navigate through this, because I think historically there's been a lot of shame and stigma around talking about issues that happen within the domestic side, and there hasn't necessarily been a lot of opportunities for people to feel like it's okay to have these conversations. So historically it was what happened in the house, you know, stays in the house, it's not for public discussion. And I think we're starting to now as a society really break through that and come out, and we're having this discussion on live radio, which is fabulous, and I think we're moving into a new era now of open discussion. But unfortunately it looks like homicides in this area aren't dropping, even though there is more awareness around it. So I think that's really the next challenge, is to turn this discussion into meaningful change in community.
It's a very, very prompt. If somebody's listening and they hear this and go, I find myself in this position, what advice are we giving to these people? What do we say? Because it can be a tricky thing, can't it? Like, you don't want to, I mean, like I said before, sometimes you think to yourself, I don't want to ask somebody about this position that I'm in because I might look stupid.
Yeah, definitely. I think being what we call like an active bystander is a really important role. So if you can just be there for that person and really listen without judging, listen without giving advice, and be someone that they can turn to any time of the day or night, because people in these situations, often they'll try and leave their partner 6 or 7 times before they successfully leave that person. And just being that sounding board for them, so that when they hopefully do have the opportunity to leave, and maybe to share more of their story, that they know that you're a trusted source and that you'll be there and you can support them as they make the exit.
Now, you're heading into schools at the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
Bowen, Kaelin, is that correct, this week?
Yes.
Okay.
How did you get from your personal story going into swimming the English Channel 44 times?
Yeah, I can't figure that one out either.
Was that just a challenge to go, I can do anything?
Yeah, well, when I was 19, although I'd done competitive swimming as a teenager, did quite well. I was never good enough for the Olympics, but I had this huge swimming
background. Not good enough for the Olympics. You swam the English Channel 44 times.
Yeah,
that's
but
crazy.
Not when I was 19.
Yeah, true.
I was like, I think I can achieve something great with my life. People I swam with as a teenager, some of them became Olympians and made finals. So I was like, I reckon I can do something great with my life. And being 19, you know, I didn't have a career or anything yet. And I was like, right, I'll be a sports person, tried a few sports, landed with the marathon swimming. And I was like, right, I'm just going to dominate long distance swimming. And I had to go to the Channel. It is the place to go.
So one last question from me anyway. Is it Vaseline that they smear on your body or is it pig fat?
It's wolf fat, option wolf. 3.
Okay, well, then.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know
it's
that.
Byproduct of the sheep industry. It's fabulous. What
is wear the coat instead? Swim with
it. Wow, that's an amazing feat to go through what you went and endured in your life to get succeed and to survive out of that and to swim the English Channel 44 times. That is crazy.
Yeah, but the DVF stuff's harder than swimming the English Channel 44 times.
I can imagine. Absolutely. Steve, did you want to add anything to this? Because it is an important thing for our region to talk about. I mean, we've seen domestic violence issues across the country. What do people do from a police side of things if they want to seek help? Do they just call the police? Do they look at services?
Well, either or, not everyone is always comfortable with speaking to the police. Mm. So that there are other options that are available. And one of them, of course, is 1-800-RESPECT.
Yep.
And I would love to share that number with your listeners. It's 1-800-737-732. I think it's pretty clear when there are opportunities that the police are needed and most people are able to differentiate that very easily. But if it's a discussion, if it's a listening ear, a trusting ear, a helpful ear, as well as police, then you have that option as well, which I think is great.
Okay, yeah, and she's doing one up on you as well. You've got to go 45 times across the English Channel.
Can I just say too that I please do not share that wolf fat point with Sergeant Dalton, because
I don't want to see Nigel Dalton in wolf fat, I can tell you.